Fantastic job. All right. What an awesome time. We're going to finish up this passage in Luke 2 tonight, our Christmas Eve service, looking at wrapping up or unwrapping the Christmas story. And we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 2, where they left off on verse 14. Luke did a fantastic job. Let's give him a hand quoting Luke 2, 1 through 14. Fantastic job there, Luke. Memorize that. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, and I thank you for joining us, whether you're here in person or online. Thank you for being with us tonight for our Christmas Eve service. And we wanted each one of you to know that you are family. You're loved, and this Christmas season, we are praying for you and for safety, for health, good health, for peace in your heart, and our desire is that you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, have a personal relationship, encounter, and if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, our goal and our prayer would be that tonight would be that, or today would be that day, I'm saying night, today would be that very day that you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, the very first Christmas must have looked much different than Mary and Joseph possibly had expected. Isn't it just like a man to forget to make reservations for where you're going to stay when you're traveling? I don't know if anybody else has ever done that. You're supposed to make the reservation. He had one job, and he didn't get it done. He didn't make reservations, and there was no room for them in the inn. If the lady had done that, she would have had out her phone. She would have found, went to the Airbnb or Vrbo or one of these sites, and she would have found the right place to stay. She would have gotten a place with a view. All of the creature comforts would have been there. I mean, it would have been absolutely perfect, and a warm, toasty fire in the fireplace, and she would have made sure all of those details were just so. The rating would have had to have been at least a 4.7, 4.9, maybe even a 5.0 rating on staying. And she wanted to make sure there's good food close by, there's restaurants, there's, you know, all of the things that would make her be comfortable. And she wanted to make sure they had a crib just in case the Christ child would be born on that during that time that they were in Bethlehem for the census. And you can imagine all of the things, the details. She probably had her mom and her sister already programmed in on FaceTime. She would just hit a thing and she could be there live, right in line. They could be part of the whole situation of what was happening there with the baby being born. She would not have ridden on a donkey for hours. None of those things would happen. No, okay, hold on. Let's back up. We're not in 2020. This was 2,000 years ago. So you can imagine all of the stress of the travel, riding a donkey for hours and days as they traveled there, looking for a place to stay, the weariness of the pregnancy. You know, since 1965, America has heard Linus tell the shepherd's version of the Christmas story. Why did God choose to announce the birth to the shepherds? Do you ever think about that process? Why did he choose to tell his story to the shepherds? Shepherds were not allowed to testify in court. Often they were accused of being petty thieves. Shepherds were usually social and religious outcasts. They were considered unclean for temple worship. Imagine for a moment the long hours of rehearsal that the angels must have done in preparation for announcing the birth of our Savior. I mean, you can imagine Michael and all of them getting everybody queued up and ready, just like I watched all these workers over here this afternoon getting everybody positioned just perfectly for the nativity and standing just in the right place and trying their best to get them to smile and to sing with enthusiasm. You know, all of those things, you can imagine what was taking place behind the scenes in preparation for the birth of the Savior. Imagine maybe God appeared to the shepherds because he knew that they would respond to the message of the Savior. Maybe it was that they were such a place that they would understand and realize that Jesus Christ loved them. He cared about their eternal destiny. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, we pick up the story. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened. They're trying to figure out what the Lord has made known unto us. And I love the story. It says, when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. What was the message that they were told? Luke reminded us that here in just the previous verses. He said just a few verses earlier. And he says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared. The glory shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The message that the angel shared was that Jesus Christ had come to earth. God had come in human form. What was the good news that the angels spoke about? The world had been looking for a king. They never thought that Jesus would come to earth how he did. They never thought that he would arrive in such humble beginnings. No one predicted that the King of Glory would come in such poverty. He was born in a cave next to farm animals. He was the son of a carpenter born in Bethlehem. No one had ever heard of it. From Nazareth, Nathanael asked, could anything good even come out of Nazareth? I mean, you can imagine the heads that were turning. No one expected the King of Glory to love the ones that he loved, the ones that the religious leaders said were outcast in society, the people that they rejected, the people that the priest and everyone had rejected, the tax collectors, the fishermen, the woman at the well, those who were despised by society. Those were the people Jesus Christ came to save. They never imagined that the king would forgive a woman caught in the very act of adultery. The law that she said she should be stoned. They never imagined the king of the Jews would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. They never expected the king to stand trial for crimes that he did not commit. They never imagined an innocent king would be beaten or scourged and spit upon. They never imagined a king hanging on a cross as the creator of the universe. They never imagined that he would look into the heavens after being beaten and crucified and say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They couldn't imagine the humility, the service, the sacrifice that Jesus, our Savior, would make. When they offered him a drink to dull the pain, he rejected it. He bore the full agony of our sin on the cross when he exclaimed, "It is finished." Jesus Christ had accomplished what God had set him forth to do here in this on this earth. Jesus had accomplished what the Father had sent him to do. His Father's plan had been completed. No one ever thought the sky would go dark at that very moment, that the earth would shake with a great earthquake. Suddenly, all hope was gone. The disciples were distraught. The person, the leader that they had followed for over the 3 years was now dead. Were they next? Would they be the next to be crucified? Would they be the next to say, "You know what? No, you're connected. Remember Peter? Hey, you're with him." "No, I'm not." Well, would they be the next to be crucified or killed for their faith? He bore the agony. He died on the cross. Yet 3 days later, as two ladies went to the tomb, they saw the stone had been rolled away. The tomb was empty. He had risen from the tomb. I had the privilege of going there last year and seeing the empty grave. And today, Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's a king like none other. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus came as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He brought good news that God loves each and every one of us. This afternoon, it does not matter the color of our skin, the language or dialect of which we speak. It doesn't matter what we've done in our past. Jesus knows all of the details of our lives. He knows everything. In fact, the Word of God tells us he knew us before the foundation of the earth. And yet he still loves us. He still died on the cross for our sin and made possible a right relationship. He came to bring great joy, the joy of knowing God and having a personal relationship with Him, the joy of knowing Him personally and our deepest, darkest hours, to know that we are not alone in this life, that Jesus Christ is right there. Out of nowhere, people who thought they were no one, the shepherds who probably thought their life was going nowhere, encountered a heavenly messenger. That evening they met Jesus. They encountered a real relationship with God. And folks, tonight that brings great joy. That brings peace. That brings contentment in this life. The world in which Jesus was born was not the peaceful, serene place most of us would have imagined. Galilee was under control of the brutal Roman Empire. When the Romans captured a region or country, they ruled it by martial law. They levied heavy taxes. They put significant burdens on the people. The political, the social, economic, spiritual climates of Galilee was in shambles. Kind of sounds like the world in which we are living maybe today. Maybe what we're facing in our lifetime and the things that are happening around our world. Say, Pastor, what is the application? That's the good news of Christmas. Jesus Christ came to the earth and He got involved in the very mess that you and I created. The sin-cursed world of mankind, Jesus Christ inserted Himself into the course of history and came as a tiny baby. And folks, this afternoon, if your life is a mess, I have great news. God is not waiting for you to get your act together, because He gets involved with us exactly where we're at tonight. It does not matter what our past consists of. Jesus came to get involved in our messiness. He didn't want us to wait until the world was safe to send His Son. He came over 2,000 years ago and He sent His Son into a dangerous world, a place that God sent His Son that He would love us and would willingly lay down His life on the cross. This Christmas, you may find yourself in a hopeless situation. Maybe 2020 has been a terrible time for you and your family, and you're thinking, maybe you're sitting here in person, you're watching online, and you're thinking, Pastor David, you have no idea the stress, the strain, the trials, the troubles, the deep waters that we've gone through this year. I may not, but I can promise you one thing, God does. He knows the very aches. He knows the pain, the anxiety, the stress, all of the crazy of this world. Jesus Christ knows all about it, and He takes and brings hope into a hopeless situation. Your life may have taken turns that you never imagined. Jesus is offering us peace and joy today. You can experience that peace and joy for yourself. If Jesus offers salvation to the lowest of lows and the poorest of the poor, you know what? That's good news for you and I, because that means that Jesus Christ is willing to save you and me. I love that. I love the story because He didn't come to just the upper class, just to the elite, or those that were just a select group of people in the Jewish community. No, He died for the sins of the entire world. He came to bring joy to all the people. This afternoon, you can experience that peace and joy if you'll say yes to Jesus Christ. If you'll say yes to Jesus, the Word of God says He will forgive us of our sin, and He'll cleanse us, and He'll make us righteous before God the Father. All of us have sinned. We've all fallen short. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God is perfect. He's holy. And man does not measure up. We fall short of God's glory. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages or the payment of our sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." This time of year, it's easy to think about gifts. You look at a Christmas tree, and you've got all these Christmas trees on stage, and perhaps you have one at your house, and And there are usually presents this time of year or by tomorrow morning that will be around the bottom of that tree or somewhere in the proximity of that Christmas tree. And we think about the gift. He says the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this afternoon, you don't have to do anything to earn God's favor, His blessing, His reward. He's faithful and just, the Word of God says, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He goes on in verse 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord..." Let's finish that sentence together. What does it say? "Will be saved." All right, that was about three of us. Let's try it together again. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will," church, "be saved." That means right where you're at, maybe you're sitting in this building today, maybe you're sitting at home on your couch, or maybe you're laying in your bed, you're not feeling good, you're sick today, tonight. Maybe you're sitting in your car and you're listening to it, or you're watching it on the TV. Can I just say, wherever you're at, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The message of Christmas is that God is with us. He wants to be our Savior. This Christmas, God wants to know, He wants us to know that He's amongst us. He's God in the flesh. He's God incarnate. He's for us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Even when we feel that God is distant, He is there. What was it that caused the Samaritans to go back rejoicing, the shepherds rather, to go back rejoicing and praising God? What was it that made them make known abroad the saying that had been told them by the angels? What caused the wise men to bow down and worship Jesus? They realized they were in the presence of God in the flesh. They realized they were in the presence of deity. You can imagine probably the shock and awe when it all registered. Do you realize what it is that we're seeing? Do you realize we're in the presence of God Himself, who's come to earth in the form of a baby? It's not just in any ordinary stable or manger. It's not just any ordinary baby. It's the Son of God. Galatians 4 says in verse 4 and 5, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." What a beautiful picture of God's love. On Christmas, He sent His Son, God in the flesh, to dwell among us. He left heaven and met us where we are. He stepped into this broken world and came to save you and me. As we unwrap the story of Christmas, the Christmas story, I wonder this afternoon, do you have a personal relationship with God? Because see, God sent His Son to be our Savior. And if we'll confess our sin, He says He'll forgive us, He'll cleanse us, He will make us righteous before God. He came to bring good news. He came this afternoon to bring great joy for all people. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I say every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're sitting here in the building. Maybe you're tuning in online. The question is really the same. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because you see, more important than what presents are under the tree over the next few hours, more important than what 2020 may look like for you, I can say the most important decision and the greatest gift that you could possibly receive would be what Jesus Christ already accomplished on the cross of Calvary. I want to invite you to unwrap the Christmas present of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and accept what He did as the payment for your sin. Today, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, can I invite you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, in just a moment, I'd love to invite you right where you're seated to pray and confess your sin, repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and turn to a loving God, a loving Savior who loves you and came to die for you. Why not confess your sin to Him right now and accept what Jesus Christ accomplished? to make payment for your sin. Right where you're seated today, maybe it's at home, maybe it's here in this building, would you just say, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that I don't deserve to go to heaven. But God, I know that you love me. God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus as a tiny baby. But he didn't stay little. He grew up into a man, and he ultimately died on the cross for my sin. He was buried, and Lord, I believe he rose again from the grave. The best way I know how, I believe, I place my faith and trust in you, and I ask you to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. Can I just say this afternoon, if you just prayed and you placed your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, can I say it's the most important decision of your life? I would love to encourage you. I'd love to pray with you. No one else is looking around at all, but maybe you're here and you say, Pastor David, just a moment ago when you prayed, I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I received that free gift of salvation you were talking about in Romans 10:13. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to encourage you. Would you just, if you prayed that prayer just a few moments ago, not sometime in the past, but if you prayed that for the very first time today, would you look up at me and let your eyes meet mine just so I can pray for you, encourage you? No one else is going to look. No one else can see. Thank you. Someone else, thank you. Somebody else. Pastor David, just a few moments ago, I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just keep your eyes open until I can see. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Somebody else. Heavenly Father, Lord, at least four or five today acknowledged that they prayed and it placed their faith and trust in you for salvation. We're talking about the angels singing. The Word of God says that angels are rejoicing in heaven over just one sinner that comes to repentance. God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for these that have made that decision today. God, I pray that you would encourage them. Lord, may they get in, plugged into a church that preaches the gospel and would begin to grow in this new year, begin to apply the Word of God to their lives on a daily basis, and Lord, begin to live for you, and Lord, to share the good news just like the shepherds did with those that they came in contact with. God, for those of us that know Christ as our Savior, may we let our light shine, Lord, before a lost and dying world. Lord, may we be a bright light, a city that's set on a hill, your word tells us in Matthew. Lord, may we be a bright light for those that we come in contact with. Will we point them to a relationship with Jesus Christ and do something supernatural through our lives to, Lord, help point others to the Savior. And for that, we'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.